Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We continue on this theme of faith. How strong is your faith? How much do you rely on God? Do you just acknowledge God in a token kind of way in your daily life? Or is God really a part of your daily life? And even better, is He at the center of your life? Let's take a look at the reading today, the first reading from the book of Genesis, this time chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. This is a very, very important section, as you will see. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. Then, in a certain way, when you name something, it gives you ownership at a certain level, depending on what it is. And so he was giving to man the right to name. And whatever the man called each of them would be its name. So the man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, all the wild animals. But none proved to be the suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man. And while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man this one has been taken." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, yet they felt no shame. Why did they feel no shame? Because they were created in the image and likeness of God. There was no sin yet. And so they felt no shame. They were at peace. They could enjoy the beauty of one another. See how far we've fallen? Psalm 128 tells us, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord." Blessed are those. Blessed are you who fear the Lord. That means to reverence him, to put him first, his commandments first in your life. Blessed are you who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. For you shall eat the fruit of your handiwork. Blessed shall you be and favored. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the recesses of your home, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord, who reverences the Lord, who honors the Lord, who puts the Lord first, who obeys the Lord. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 to 30, Jesus went to the district of Tyre, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know about it, but he could not escape notice. Poor man just wanted a little quiet, and as soon as they see him, crowds come around him. But he could not escape notice. And soon a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she begged him to drive the demon out of her daughter. Notice she recognized what was going on. Had to have been some spiritual sense in her because she recognized in some way something demonic. He said to her, "Look at this now. This looks like just so Jesus being so rude. That's what it looks like." He said to her, "Let the children be fed first." In other words, his people. "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." He's calling her a dog. Look what she did. She replied and said to him, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps. And he said to her, for saying this, you may go. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And when the woman went home, she found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Look at that woman's trust in God. Even when she was seemingly insulted, he was testing her. But her daughter was far more important than her own reputation, and she was willing to endure. And look how God blessed her. What did he say to her? What did he say to her? For saying this, you may go. The demon has gone out of your daughter. Look at God's goodness. I want to read a section of a commentary by Dr. Mary Healy. It's her book on the Gospel of Mark, and this is what she writes about this particular passage. She comes and falls at his feet, which is homage. It's an act of homage, begging Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus unexpectedly rebuffs her. Let the children be fed first. The children are the people of Israel, God's children. Dogs, here literally the word is puppies, was a pejorative term often used by Jews to refer to Gentiles. Here the point is that as household pets, dogs do not have the right or privileges of the children. In the form of a parable, Jesus is asserting that the blessing of the kingdom must be given first to God's chosen people to whom they had been promised. But the qualifier first, the word first, that's the qualifier, means that the time will come after his passion and resurrection when the Gentiles too will share in the full inheritance of God's children. The early church followed this principle by preaching the gospel always to Jews first before moving on to Gentiles. By referring to his works of healing as bread, Jesus indicates that there is a deeper symbolic meaning to the bread he has provided in the desert. As shepherd Messiah of his people, he provides the bread of a new life, which includes liberation from sin, from demonic oppression, and from all the forces of evil. Despite Jesus' apparent harshness, the woman is not put off in the least. Instead of taking offense, she quickly turns his reply to her advantage by retorting with a clever counterparable. She is the only person in Mark who addresses Jesus as Lord, the term by which the early church addressed him in prayer, and it does point to his true identity. Although Lord can be simply a title of respect, like Sir, it is also the term used in the Septuagint in place of the holy name of God. Mark had already indirectly applied the title to Jesus in this exalted sense. The woman implicitly accepts Jesus' unflattering epithet, but points out that dogs too have their share of scraps from the family meal. She therefore acknowledges Jesus as the giver of bread, the one loaf for Jew and Gentile, and she expresses her confidence that somehow the dogs will not be left out. Even though Jesus seemed to reject her request, he was in reality looking to evoke just that kind of deep faith, the kind of faith that he finds it impossible to refuse. Indeed, soon after this incident, he will feed Gentiles with not only crumbs, but an abundance of bread. Her faith has mysteriously opened the way. Her indomitable faith has moved his heart to accelerate his plan. The children's bread is given ahead of schedule to a Gentile, and upon her return home, the woman finds her child delivered from the demon. This exorcism is the only work of healing done at a distance in the Gospel of Mark, accenting the efficacy of the woman's faith. Her faith was great. Brothers and sisters, that's what we need, is to believe. To believe in him. To put our trust in him. To have confidence in him. But because we can't see the whole picture, when things go wrong, we conclude God doesn't care or God doesn't love us. When in reality, God is allowing these things in order to draw us closer to him. But we have free will. Now, I have dealt with, as I'm sure you have, many people who said, I don't believe in God. There is no God who would allow this or who would allow that. There is no God. Brothers and sisters, Jesus on the cross triumphed over sin and death forever. But we have to get through this life. And if we put our trust in him, he will enable us to triumph over the evil that comes against us. But we've got to put our trust in him. See, what happens to us is we try to orchestrate it. We try to say, God, do this and then I'll believe you. God, handle this situation. And of course, we're implying the way I want it handled. And if we have faith, even a little bit of faith, simply go to the Lord and say, I entrust my life into your hands. And I ask that the crosses I'm carrying and the difficult things that I'm enduring in life or my family is enduring, please use them for my salvation. It doesn't mean you just sit back and let yourself be hurt. You fight the battle. You try to overcome what you can overcome, but trust him. Trust him that he's working out your salvation through the crosses you carry. He honestly is. I mean, it amazes me, the woman in the gospel. It amazes me her level of faith. When she didn't even really fully know who he was. But she saw power and authority, and she put her trust in him for her daughter, the most precious thing she had. She put her trust in him. God has to, and God will do things his way. He's not going to submit to our agenda or our timing, because he knows in what he allows, and even the timing of it is all orchestrated for our salvation, for our holiness, to draw us and everyone we love closer to him. God never wants our harm. He wants us whole and intact. He wants us healed and restored. He wants us close to him. In fact, he wants us more than close to him. He wants us to live in union with him. But it takes a faith to believe that this God really has my best interests at heart. And he does far better than anything you could or I could come up with. And for our children. And for our children's children. He loves you, and he desires that you put your trust in him. Just ask the Lord, give me the courage to put my trust in you, because I don't really have it. I'm afraid. Give me the courage to put my trust in you. Give me the courage to believe your word. Give me the courage and the faith to believe your promises, and then begin to act as though you do, and watch how God works in your life. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.